Welcome back to the Raisin Brand Podcast. My name is Zach Everman. I'm here with Aaron Jarnigan, our brand strategist. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the branding schemes of 2023, the top three branding schemes of 2023. Aaron has some thoughts on this. I have some feelings about it as well, and I'm kind of excited to have this conversation with you, Aaron.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm excited about the topic, excited to dive into it, not excited that it needs to be talked about.
But right.
It'll be good to talk about.
It sucks that this type of conversation is even being had at all, right?
Well, and it's interesting too. It showcases the power of especially social media today, I think, which is really fun, you know, in terms of how we can work in that space for ourselves, but also for clients. But yes, there are some schemes out there.
Is it fair to say like these are things that feel cringy? Like, is that a good use of like things like this? Whenever you're talking about marketing, it kind of hurts your soul a little bit.
Yeah.
To know that they exist.
Definitely. I think definitely. Yep. Okay. Yep. Which one do you want to jump into first?
So, you know, the biggest thing for me, like, especially when you look at either big brand deals or more localized brand deals, is the idea of influencers and whether they're national, like large global influencers or micro influencers. I want to talk a little bit about the whole bad branding deals for influencers topic that you had noted here.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple starting points on that to kind of set that conversation. So bad branding deals for influencers. So influencer marketing is one of the fastest growing in terms of like ad spend, folks putting money into a specific area of marketing. It's one of the fastest growing. So it's something that, you know, whether you have, well, and what's cool about it is, of course, you can have like your mega influencers, you know, like
right.
Kardashians, like just this crazy level. But there's even opportunities for what they call like micro or nano influencers, where you're talking like sub or lower than 10,000 followers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what's cool about that is you have the broad reach ones, but then people are recognizing the value of these like folks that have very niche followings and they're very specific. But also those folks are very loyal, you know, where like a Kardashian, they're worth a lot. They can get all the attention on it. But there's a lot less loyalty overall. I wish there was a score, you know what I mean? Like where you could kind of take a look like, oh, they, you know, Kardashian, they have a 2% score, whereas the nano influencer has like a 50%, you know, showcasing that there's kind of different value there. Anyway,
yeah.
But one thing that's great for influencers to know is as they're growing, Shopify has actually released a resource that talks about these are some average price points for different levels of influencer and on different apps. So 100,000 followers on TikTok is different than 100,000 followers on Instagram. I would say it's worth less, just frankly. And so they talk a little bit about that. So first, as if you're an influencer entering into this range of you might be able to get some of these deals, that's a great resource to start with. So just some notes there as we dive into this.
And when you talk about influencer, like this could apply to things like affiliate marketing and stuff like that as well,
totally.
Right? And the reason why it's so important to look at this is because there are some influencers out there that will say, well, I have 100 million followers across all my platforms, but they don't necessarily specify what platforms they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll convince brands to pay a hefty fee to leverage their community that you may not really know the value of.
Well, and it's interesting because I think this is two-pronged because you have influencers that, I don't know how to, like, the best way to say it, like almost like swindle the system a little bit. You know what I mean? Where the metrics aren't there. The term vanity metrics is kind of one that we throw around.
So there's no proof.
Right. Well, that's one element of it. And that kind of goes back to that score of like the followers, you know, like which one's real, which one's not. So there's that side of it. But then there's also the side of businesses or brands that know how to, I would just say, take advantage of influencers, you know, especially the ones that are small and growing, where there's these contracts that are just ridiculous. And so I guess on that front, I think it's important to say that you want to be good to work with, easy to work with, but make sure you're reading the contracts and don't get taken advantage of. There are great brands out there that don't do that and that are really great to partner with.
Right.
But if it seems too good to be true, you know, they often say it is. And so it's interesting because there's that two-prong piece of this one specifically.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that there's bad deals, not just from one direction, but both directions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the value of if you're a business and you're looking at investing in influencer marketing, knowledge is totally power. And especially with all these different social media platforms and metrics, even just the base understanding of, like, you know, so say they have a YouTube video and they have 100,000 views, like, wow, that's awesome. They get a lot of attention. But if you look and there's 4 comments and 6 likes, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah. How did they get those 100,000 views?
Huge red flag. Well, and that's the thing too. And that's one thing that I found out. This is one of those hurts the soul moments. If you look, especially at some of the larger networks that you see out there today, some of that is commonplace where they have these views and then the engagement isn't there. And like I said, it's commonplace, but what they're doing is they're running their entire video as a pre-roll ad on YouTube. So say they have a 20-minute segment of whatever, you know, whether it's like a news program or just some funny video or a sketch or something that's part of their network, they'll run that entire video as a pre-roll ad. You know, and as somebody who's looking to give money to this organization, you don't see that engagement or retention.
Right.
You're just like, you know, oh, we got 80 million views last year or whatever. Like, oh, wow, that's great. You know, they'll sign the dotted line. Like, no, hold up. Like, make sure you know what questions to ask and what to look at.
In that case, should a brand, are there questions that a brand should be asking that influencer or that advertising platform to ensure that they're actually getting real views? Like, is that an appropriate thing for them to be asking? And what should that question be, if so?
Yeah, the first one that I think of is, do you have, and this isn't always the case depending on the level, but who have you worked with in the past? Or would you be willing to share who you've worked with? Or do you have references? That's the biggest thing, because that's always great. You know, and do a little bit of research. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes people are working together and references can't always be the highest quality. Right. But the easiest thing is to actually just take the time and do it yourself. Don't trust somebody else. You know, if you have the time, but go and look. If they're on TikTok, you know, spend time scrolling through it. You know, don't just trust some third party that's trying to connect you to their services that influencers can sign up for that'll reach out to companies on their behalf and try to sell them. Spend the time, go through their accounts. Just make sure that what's there looks legit. You can tell, like, sometimes people can, you know, buy comments on Instagrams and on things. And if you scroll through it, you'll be able to tell. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a social media pro to figure it out. It's like, this seems fishy. And it's like, well, it probably is. So,
right. Exactly. Yeah. So just, if you're going to be spending thousands of dollars on some sort of brand deal, to have an influencer promote your brand, do your due diligence, look into it, spend the couple hours it might take to dig into their platforms and do your own research before spending that money.
Totally. Cause that it doesn't always guarantee, but it will by and large push you to a higher return on investment. Cause you're really trying to audit the quality of what you're buying. And that time it makes a huge difference.
Yes. So I know that sort of marketing strategy also relates to the next topic. Mm-hmm. And that is expert courses.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, especially over the last 2 years, we've seen an infinite number of expert courses that have been released online, and you see all the ads on social media for them. You see testimonials from people that have taken the courses, all these things that have popped up now. How valuable are these expert courses if everyone seems to be an expert?
Yeah, so this one's a funny one too. Just because of the different layers of it. So when we're talking about an expert course, what we mean is, so somebody has put together either a series of YouTube videos, a series of videos on Google Drive or something like that, a file holding spot, and then they sell you access to those. So whether it's SEO, social media advertising, you know, some people are even doing like financial coaching, motivational coaching, like all this stuff. But the one part of it, the specific piece of it that actually piqued my interest in looking into this further, are the ones that are doing like where you can make money. Like this is a course that will make you money. And the ones that I've seen, and I won't name them, I don't know. But anyway, the ones that I've seen that are the most interesting are, it's a course that you sign up for however much a month or whatever. And the content is geared towards basically telling you how to take this person's content, make your own social media channels, post this content, and then sell the course. And then through your affiliate link, you make money. So it's a pyramid scheme, but different.
Wow.
So you're not, you know, inviting people to Panera, you know, and like having this conversation about your mentor.
It saves you time.
Well, and then you don't have to make content.
Yeah.
You can post their stuff. And typically they're controversial because it gets a lot of attention.
Yeah.
that was the one that piqued my interest, because you know, at the surface level you're like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant, like, and you're just leveraging social media and you're leveraging this, you know, and while you're making content you are totally manipulating the distribution of it, you know, because if you and have 1,000 people sign up for it and they each get a video, like, that's insane.
Right.
But it hurts my soul because it's
right.
It's not legit.
The ones that hurt my soul or the ones that almost frustrate me are the ones that are, that, like you said, are about making money. And it's like, hey, you can make, just say, start this 7-figure business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, the thing that in all the marketing material that goes out about that is they don't talk about, and the one that I see a lot is 7-figure digital marketing agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you actually making in revenue 7 figures, or are you actually making that much in profit? Like, mm-hmm. there's a big difference there, and all it really tells you is that you're processing 7 figures of money through your company that you make. It doesn't mean that you actually make that much money. Well, and it's misleading at best.
Totally. And like, what are the odds that anyone at that level has done the 7-figure thing?
Right.
You know, you just need something big to get folks' attention.
Really, that 7-figure business, the thing that that person is relating to or referring to is the course that he's selling you in that ad.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, who I'm trying to think about how to like, who audits how legit this stuff is.
Right.
So it's, I think it's beautiful the amount of reach that folks can have on social media. I think that that's really cool.
Yep.
But there are just some things, like, so if they're saying, you know, you can do this, you can sell this, you have no idea how many people have signed up for those courses. What you've seen is they've had a large reach online, which especially with TikTok, Shorts, Reels, Reels is still a bit tough, but like the barrier to entry in terms of a mass audience is pretty low.
Very much so.
You know, and really, like, unless there's some sort of review system that's set up and that's not manipulated too, you know, there's not a lot of things that you can use to kind of filter through some of those. So you've spent your, you know, and most people, like, if it's $20 and you get access to it, like, that's not a huge barrier. You know, if especially if they're telling you that it's going to pay you, you know, exponentially on the other end, you know, and if enough people fall into this, give that $20. I mean, I'm not saying all these are bad. Like, I don't want it to be like that. I just, this is a scheme that some folks are doing, especially when it gets back to like, this is a course that teaches you how to promote and sell this course so that you make some money and I can make a lot of money.
Yeah. There are people out there that have gained a knowledge, mm-hmm. gained an expertise that just want to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it, and it makes sense for them to get value in return for that thing that they're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
We're referring to the people that are trying to manipulate the system and do things in a way that's misleading and false.
Yeah. And
it can be hard to see. It can be hard to tell the difference sometimes.
Well, and they always talk about like the, they have a great story. They're very personable, mm-hmm. and you trust them. And it's the way that they speak, the way that they communicate. They're very authoritative. And they do a really good job. Like, I can't knock them. They're really good at what they do in that regard. It's just something to be aware of, you know, and going back to how traditional multi-level marketing stuff is if it doesn't work out, it's not because they didn't have something wrong. It's that you didn't put in enough work and you weren't trying hard enough.
And I was just thinking that when you were talking about that whole idea of like, you can make this much money, but the only guarantee I can give you is that you'll make that much money if you put in the right amount of work.
And it's such an easy defense for that organization. It's, oh, you didn't do it. You didn't put enough work. And it's like, well, my marriage now sucks because I, you know, never spend time with my significant other because I'm always working at this.
My kids hate me.
Well,
I haven't seen my friends in 16 weeks.
And like, if you watch people talk about like falling out or leaving the MLM space, it's, they talk about like, it can be relationship ruining, friend ruining.
Well, because you're told to go to those relationships first to get everything started.
Yeah. And then it's like, I just say culty. Like, you know, it's, you hop on your Zoom meetings and that's where your encouragement comes from. That's where your value comes from. But the minute you slip or don't hit a goal or something, it's like sharks and like blood infested water with sharks. Yeah. And so, so that's an interesting one. As of late, especially with just the mass amount of reach that you can have on some of these platforms. You know, I've seen it. We actually use a tool it's actually a good tool, which is kind of funny, but then the person who developed the tool does this to sell that tool. It's SEO. And so it's just interesting to see it. And some of it's good stuff, but
yeah. you just have to figure out what to look past and mm-hmm. focus on when you're looking at this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And like I said, it's not that all courses are bad. That is not, you know, and even like, you know, like Masterclass obviously is separate from this. But just always being aware of what you see on the internet. I just don't know how important that is or how I could make that clear enough right. that, you know, I couldn't even tell you how easy it would be for us to, podcasting or any sort of marketing, just take an hour of time. We would sit around a table. We would have 10 topics when we would talk about podcasting. We yep. would cut that up into 10 different videos, put it in a Google Drive, create some sort of like Shopify page yeah. to sell it, and then just start cranking out content. Yep. And that's it.
Yep.
You know, there's nobody to say that we're really good at podcasting or we've built podcasts or yeah. anything.
Absolutely.
It's just, we now have a presence. You know, we make it all look very nice. It's all branded.
Yep.
The landing page is all branded. It's easy to get through the links to the purchase page.
There's a bunch of upfront work to make it look very, very clean, very, yep. very presentable. But then after that, it's like, it just coasts.
Yeah. You know, and if you don't have reviews, you don't worry about it and you just add fake ones to your page. Like, it's yeah. it, the bear, it, you do it in a day.
You don't usually put last names on reviews anyway.
No, so. Because of privacy, which yeah. I get. Like, yeah. We do that for clients. It's privacy. It is, yeah. but it also makes it easier for folks to fake them. And so that's, right. I guess, like, and that could be done in a day, you know, and we'd be up and running.
Yep.
And so instead of doing this podcast, we'd just be sitting here recording all sorts of content. Like, this is going to be the breakthrough. You know, we came from nothing, wanted to start a podcast talking about this. And yeah, hurts my soul.
It certainly does. So that kind of gets into the next topic, and that's brands that have lied.
Mm-hmm.
There's, with the internet, with the faceless part of everything being digital now, it's a lot easier to lie about your brand and what your brand's capable of doing or mm-hmm. what your brand stands for. And so what are some things around this topic that you feel have happened and things that people should look out for?
Yeah. So the first thing I would bring into this is actually Gary Vee said this, but he talked about how the internet's just going to expose everyone for who they are.
Absolutely.
You know, with the different accounts and just, you know, like there's just no privacy anymore with what you're doing. And especially once you get a lot of attention, it's easy to dig into this. But the most recent example that I've seen is the Liver King brand. You know, that was one that he was kind of this super insane, ripped fit guy, mm-hmm. kind of lived this all natural lifestyle, ate raw meat. You know, it's kind of interesting. Earlier you mentioned kind of cringy, and it's almost like there's an art to being weird enough to get attention, but authoritative enough to have a following.
People to trust you.
Well, I think that, like, there's some genius behind that split. Yeah. Cause I think it's a fine line.
It's
where
a knife edge.
You're too far gone. That's, everybody's like, no, like, that doesn't make sense. Or, you know, you're not enough, so you're not interesting.
Right.
So I do want to say, I think there's a little bit of genius in there, but what had happened was there were some emails released, between, Liver King and I think a trainer, where, you know, reportedly he was using steroids, and it came to light that this was true.
Yep.
And I think it was like some insane amount, like some insane dollar figure yeah. going into this. And he was selling a product, all about muscle growth, all that good stuff. And so now it's just interesting because folks have figured this out. And so he's had to change his tune a bit, mm-hmm. with what's going on, but. Or did you have something to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, that idea of he's promoting this way of life in order to achieve the physique that he had, the look that he had, the health that he had. But in reality, behind the scenes, what he wasn't showing anyone is that he doesn't even follow that same regime.
Right. Right. Well, now there's legal stuff.
Not regime.
I mean, now you're getting into legal right. trouble. It's not just I'm hurting my brand. It's... they're actually coming for my money.
right, exactly.
And I think that's, you know, with just any of this stuff, like those age-old lessons, and I know it's cliche, but like if it just sounds too good to be true, or it looks like it's too good to be true, it just is. And I also think about when we were talking about people, you know, inflating their vanity metrics or paying for ads, it's, you know, long term, that's not building a brand, you know, and
absolutely.
And it's hard because, you know, you play the game of long term branding success, the not overnight success, versus the easy little dollars that can come in now. And so, you know, and you might want those easy dollars, but man, if you can wait, like, it's going to be far more fruitful.
Absolutely.
Longer term, you're not going to be lying to yourself. You're not going to be lying to others. And then there's always that risk of, if you are lying, you know, the internet's a vast, wide place. It takes one person who's kind of a sleuth to stumble across your stuff and be curious to go through the rabbit hole and figure out that this person's a fraud. And just like you have easy access to reach a ton of people, if they make a video exposing you and they do it well, they also have easy access to reach a ton of people. And so it's a very interesting environment. And it's still a newer environment where we have this much access to people, and attention. And I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next few years. Just in terms of, like, how do we know, you know, what is authentic? How do we not? So it's just very interesting. And I think that there's a lot to learn from it.
I agree. And going back to that, we're talking about brands that lie, and there's things for consumers to be aware of with that, people that are buying into whatever that brand is selling. But also you brought up the fact that there is that idea of being just crazy enough that you're entertaining, but not so far that you're not. You also have to just make sure you're not lying to the detriment of your brand legally, which we talked a little bit about.
Right.
And so brands that do want to be a little bit out there and they want to be a little bit crazy, which is perfectly fine for a brand. If it matches your brand message, that's perfectly fine. You just have to make sure that you're being very cautious, that you're not crossing a line that is going to get you into legal issues that can just cripple your entire company.
Yeah. And hopefully it doesn't get to that point where that's the filter.
Well, you know? Right.
Like, but totally. I mean, you know, they talk about in marketing, like, selling the sizzle, not the steak, you know, like, what does this get you afterwards? You know, happiness, less stress, whatever. Yeah, it's just,
in the end, I just want to sleep better at night.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing is, like, man, you can chase some of this stuff. But it's just, it never is fruitful. And it's just unfortunate. And I just think about, again, just those lessons of, like, you are your own best protector in terms of, like, when you're looking at deals, when you're looking at filters, you know, the social media platforms, like, they've tried to do a good job moderating, but there's so much stuff that falls through the cracks and there's so many things that are misleading, and it's kind of hard to, like, you are your own best filter of that stuff.
They're doing the best they can, but they also have their own businesses that they're trying to run too.
And that's something to not forget is, and they need people to build audiences, be engaging on their platform. So it's all a delicate act, the balancing act. And so it's just interesting. Like I said, I think that there's a lot to learn, especially during this time. And I imagine as time moves on, it's just going to be more and more. So I just think it's just very interesting, kind of some of the stuff that we're talking about, just an interesting time.
What I would love is to hear what some of the people listening to this podcast, what marketing schemes they've seen in the past that really either gave them cringy feelings or maybe they fell victim to, whatever it is. I would love to see those in the comments of this video, because I think it's a conversation that needs to continue to be had, and bad ones need to be exposed. And I think that it's one of those things, like all three of these topics that we just talked about today, the one thing that it continues to come back to is do your own research.
Totally.
Spend the time, whether you're a brand, whether you're an influencer, whether you're a consumer, any of those three people, do your research about the opposite side of whatever deal you're working on and make sure that it's authentic, it's real, the lies don't exist, and that you can trust going into it that you're going to get out of it what you expected to get, or you're going to get out of it what you expected from putting in what you did.
Boom. I like it. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was a really good conversation. I could talk about this forever and all day, but I think you did a really good job covering these points, and in covering it. So thank you.
Let's continue the conversation in the comments.
Yeah. Get down there. Let us know what you think. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Raising Brand Podcast powered by Pixel Labs. Remember to subscribe to stay up to date on all things Raising Brand.